Well, gather around, kids. It's story time. Once upon a time in 2011, Google announced it would build a fiber network in Kansas City, Kansas. And Kansas City's tech landscape changed big time when that happened. Since the installation of gigabit internet speeds, we've seen the creation of a startup village, an influx of innovators to the area, and initiatives like Smart City, which aims to utilize all that speed to improve the lives of Kansas City residents. But years before Google came to Kansas City, a gigabit internet network was already up and running, so few of us realize this, in Little Chattanooga, Tennessee. Two networks, but two very different stories, and Kansas City and Chattanooga learned a lot from each other over the past few years. Here to tell us a lot more about it, our Aaron Deacon. He's director of KC Digital Drive, whose mission is to make Kansas City a digital leader to improve the quality of life for people here. Aaron, nice to have you back again. Welcome.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
And Ken Hayes is also with us. He's president of the Enterprise Center in Chattanooga. His organization has a very similar role in Chattanooga, and in fact, Ken and Aaron are very familiar with one another. Ken, thank you for taking some time with us today.
Greatly enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with you, Aaron. Kansas City was lucky to have Google Fiber sort of placed in our laps. Tell us and remind us again how that came to be.
Well, it came to be in a couple different ways. You know, there was a Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri, both approached this separately. They were among 1,100 different cities who sort of responded to this, you know, call for proposals from
1,100.
Google. 1,100 cities.
Yeah.
One of those was not Chattanooga because they already had it. In Kansas City, Missouri, it was a really crowdsourced entrepreneurial effort. In Kansas City, Kansas, it was led by the, you know, really by the mayor's office, by Mayor Reardon.
Yeah.
I don't think they, you know, there were some other cities from the area who applied as well. But they were kind of independent efforts until after the announcement was made, and then they looked across state line and said, we ought to work on this together.
We got it. Why, at the end of the day?
Well, the infrastructure here was really good. We had good utility poles. The city governments on both sides were willing to work with Google, I think, to make it happen. And Kansas City is a pretty good test market for new products, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like America. And, you know, Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri both have digital divide populations that Google, I think, was interested in figuring out how to address.
Hmm. Ken Hayes in Chattanooga, you know, your town went about building a gigabit internet network without the help of Google. What was the primary goal of building that network?
Our goal was we had some extremely visionary leadership at the Electric Power Board, which is our municipal-owned electric utility. And what the leadership there decided that they needed to do was to make our smart grid one of the smartest, if not the smartest, in the country, or not the world. And so to do that, you needed a communication system to have the electrical system, you know, talk, you know, to communicate. And so the initial reason for the deployment of fiber into Chattanooga was so that we could make our smart grid a Mensa grid, if you will. And so it was deployed. But obviously the byproduct is that anybody that gets electricity in a 600 square mile area, which includes the city of Chattanooga, but includes our county of Hamilton and 8 other counties in the surrounding area, have the ability to get this unbelievable, you know, connectivity to their home.
You know, dumb question here. Do you transmit electricity on your fiber network, or is it just a communications network?
It's the communications network. I mean, the transmission is, you know, goes through the electrical transmission. But what we're able to do is that now, you know, is an example for data that comes in, where the, you know, EPB used to collect 2 to 3 million bits of data a year just by reading meters.
Right.
It's now read in real time. So we, you know, we're collecting somewhere between 2 and 3 trillion bits of data, you know, a year.
What are the costs for Chattanooga, Ken, to install a network like that so far ahead of anybody else in the country?
The total cost for our whole system, which included upgrading the electrical system and deployment of fiber, was approximately $330 million. We happened to, you know, actually be around at the time that the stimulus funds became available, and we had a ready-made project, so we collected about $111 million, you know, of federal money to help sort of deploy the whole system.
It just strikes me still as $200 million out of the hands of taxpayers in Chattanooga for a need that you wonder why folks weren't saying, hey, let's use that money to build more highways or to fix up, address poverty, or do something else with the money.
Well, first of all, I think that what's happened is that what we know, and you all know in Kansas City, is that fiber is a very, very important utility. But more importantly, the business model for the deployment of this fiber is actually you know so far ahead of schedule that the fiber funds that come into EPB actually help subsidize our electricity. So it's we're way ahead of financial projections. The fact is it's not costing anybody money, any money, but it's actually making money for our utility.
Huh. So you deployed the network in 2009. Would you say that you wound up out-gigging Google?
I think I've used that expression once or twice before.
So every house in Chattanooga that has electricity also has fiber internet if they want it. Do I have that right, Ken?
That's correct. And in our case, I mean, the business model is the minimum service that folks get from EPB fiber is 100 megabit symmetrical service. And so then the next offering is a gigabit.
Aaron, what do you make of this Chattanooga thing? It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It was one of the first places we looked when we started to think about, what's Google doing here? I hadn't heard of gigabit fiber before.
I mean, for a town to have that level of foresight is just, it's breathtaking.
It is, and it's really, it's interesting in the context of the electrical grid, because that's a different way, going through your public utility is a different way than it happened here. And I think one of the interesting things was kind of how Google's entry into the game, obviously a big consumer brand, was able to cast even a brighter light on what was happening in Chattanooga and able to, I think, partly for what they were doing there, but also from a national perspective, to get people thinking about what else this can do besides simply upgrade your utility grid.
Yeah. Back in 2009, Aaron, when Chattanooga was already deploying this network, where was Google at that point? And was gigabit even part of the conversation back then?
Yeah, it was a national priority. There was the FCC was working on the National Broadband Plan, which came out in 2009, I believe, and it was looking at the network situation in the U.S. versus globally. Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, China had been working on how they bring fiber capacity to their countries, and the carriers in the U.S. really were not making that investment in their networks. Mm-hmm. Verizon had done a little bit. So Google was working with the federal administration, and they kind of looked around and said, okay, we think we need to have this. And after the National Broadband Plan came out, I think they went back internally and said, we're looking at federal policy issues. Is there anything we can do by ourselves to help address what is a national security and national economic priority for the country?
Hmm. Do you think every city should have what Kansas City and Chattanooga has?
Absolutely. And I think they will over time.
Over time. Aaron, you feel the same way? I mean, Ken, you feel the same way?
Sorry.
Do you think every city in the country should have the same thing that both Chattanooga and Kansas City has?
I'm sorry, was that directed at me?
Yeah, Ken, go ahead.
Absolutely. I think that, this next generation of internet, should be as impactful, if not more impactful, than the first generation of the network. And so, Aaron and I, get together regularly. We encourage other cities to however they can, get it deployed, because I think that once the world is more gigized, or their networks are upgraded, is that you're going to see sort of some next generation applications that we have no clue what those might be. And so the faster that this happens, I think it's great that with the organization we belong to, with US Ignite, in Next Century Cities, they're both out there sort of promoting communities getting broadband, and more importantly, what you do when you have it.
I'm still a little surprised, Aaron. Help me here a little bit, because when Google came here, it was hailed as this incredible economic development opportunity, national headlines, everybody talking about it. But still, people were talking about this 20 years prior to the Kansas City area getting all this stuff. What took it so long to get the ball rolling here again?
Well, you mean when you say 20 years prior, you mean back like in the 90s?
In the 90s, people were already talking about the potential of gigabit internet connectivity.
Yeah, it's expensive and it's hard to build infrastructure.
Yeah.
It just takes a long time to roll it out. I mean, we've seen that firsthand, how long it's taken just to build out. I mean, it's been 5 years and they're still working on parts of the suburbs and other parts of the community. It's capital intensive. I mean, $300 million in Chattanooga with a population of maybe 150,000. Google's probably spending $500 million here. Those projects are hard to tackle.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. In my neighborhood in Westwood, we just went through the laying of Google Fiber a few months ago, and now there's another carrier. We haven't been told who it is. I think it's AT&T. they're laying fiber and going through the same tearing up everybody's front yard kind of thing twice in the same year.
Yeah,
and you wonder if there won't be more carriers coming down the road.
No, that's right. I'm in Mission, and we had Consolidated Communications come through maybe 2 years ago, and they did the whole thing. There are a lot of cities that are starting to adopt Dig Once policies, and there's a lot of conversation from a policy perspective on a national level about is there a different way to do that? Do you just lay down the pipes one time that the city owns, for example, and then let whoever wants to run their fiber through it?
Yeah.
So there are some models. It'll be interesting to see how that develops.
You know, so when Google announced its plan, Aaron, to build a fiber network here, it had a business model to go with it. Can you tell me more about why that made such a difference, you know, in Kansas City versus Chattanooga?
Well, they may have had a business model. They had some business guesses. I think there were a lot of things that they were trying. They certainly wanted to make money on it. It's a different model to have a private provider own the pipes than it is to have a public utility own the pipes. There are some downsides to that potentially in who has access and how that's distributed and who controls the network. But there were some upsides in terms of brand attention, in terms of kind of having private capital invested to try to make it do things other than maybe what it was intended to do. So in Chattanooga, well, we want to build a smart grid, so we're going to build our smart grid. And I think there was a lot of focus on that for those early years. I think part of all the work that Ken's been doing over the past few years with the Enterprise Center was spurred on by Google coming here and taking a little bit of a more entrepreneurial approach to, well, what do we do with this stuff? What are the other things that we can explore and expand on to have real economic development impact? And I think, you know, Chattanooga's been able to do a lot of that since, but having some private money in it helps get you there.
You know, Ken, in Chattanooga, you know, the sense I had here watching the Google Fiber experiment unwind in the Kansas City area was that at least for a while there was some consternation and hand-wringing about what in the world do we do with this stuff now that we've gotten it. Am I right from your perspective, Ken? Was there that sort of uncertainty for a while, and do you think we figured it out now?
I think we're going to be continuing to figure it out. I think, you know, Kansas City and Chattanooga are first movers in this world. And so that, you know, what we've found is that it's an extremely good tool in our toolbox. But we run a program called Gig Tank every year. And it's where we bring in wickedly smart folks from around the world to sort of answer the question is, what do you do with a gig? Well, because it's a business accelerator, You have these folks that come in with these great ideas, but then the question becomes is how many eyeballs are out there, and that the business model still doesn't work until you can have the density of folks on it. But what it does, and I think Aaron mentioned this earlier, is that we become great test grounds. And so I think that what we are all learning is you've got to walk before you run. And if we can start using these networks as test beds, that as more communities come online, is that our entrepreneurs and our businesses will be a lot better to scale their opportunities. And I think that's when, you know, economic opportunity starts to really, you know, take place for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But I mean, and every year we see better and better applications, but it's still a slow going. I mean, if you look back at when electricity was first invented, my parents grew up saying we got the light bill because that's what electricity did.
Yeah.
But then the applications and what you could go do with it all became, you know, I mean, that's, we now see the value of it. And I think that's exactly what's happening now.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR, and we're talking about the tale of two gigabit cities and the experiences they've had, Kansas City and Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you want to join our conversation, you can do so right now. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Again, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. To what extent are the eyeballs of the country, and maybe even beyond, Aaron, on Kansas City as this whole thing proceeds and rolls out?
Oh, they're definitely focused in here. You know, not just on the Google project, but you know, we have four fiber providers here now that provide gigabit fiber to the home, which is amazing.
Is that more than most cities?
Oh yeah, most cities don't even have one.
Mm-hmm. And the four providers are what?
Consolidated Communications, Link City in North Kansas City, AT&T, and Google Fiber.
Google Fiber, yeah. So we're way ahead of everybody else.
We're way ahead.
You're beating us by one. I mean, we have AT&T and we have Comcast But what we do have in Chattanooga, and I think it's probably the same thing, is that prior to EPB entering the market, is every 6 months you would see your prices being raised. And I think that now that, you know, that we've got the best of AT&T's product and we've got the best of Comcast. So I think that the competition factor is really important because it provides, you know, multiple options and choices for our whole community.
We have an email here from Beth who asks, what are the costs to citizens in Chattanooga? I pay $70 a month for Google Fiber. Is it in schools and libraries in Chattanooga, and do the poor have access to it? What about that, Ken?
Every home that gets electricity has access to EPB's gigabit or, you know, their 100 megabit service.
And what's the cost?
In the we're actually $69.99. We're about a penny below Google.
So four gigabit, but you can get a lower cost package, right?
Yeah, well, you're exactly right, Aaron. Thank you. I think for the 100 megabit service, you can get $56. But what the mayor and the head of EPB just implemented about 4 months ago as part of our digital inclusion, digital equity efforts is that for our community that where we have children that are on the free or reduced lunch program is that there actually is a product where they can get it for $26.50 or something a month. So it's about half price for folks, you know, where the kids are Title I.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back, Aaron, to what I asked Ken a few minutes ago about this idea of, was there a pause or a delay as Google Fiber, once it got laid, in terms of what Kansas City was going to do with it? Was there a delay, and have we figured it out yet, speaking just from a very much of a macro standpoint here?
Yeah, from a there wasn't much of a delay in starting to think about it. I think what Ken's point, you know, the point he made was that it's a continual process. And I think we're still in that process. And I think the biggest change and maybe the biggest transformation for me over the past, you know, couple years doing this is not so much the question of, well, what do you do with a gigabit, which is kind of where we started from. But the idea that the pace of technology is changing so fast that creates a whole set of conditions that are just different for how you make decisions and how you do things and how you live all aspects of your life. I mean, the question we started with was, what happens when you go 1,000 times faster? You know, what if you could read 1,000 times faster? If you could get places 1,000 times faster? That kind of exponential change is just completely different than kind of the stepwise process we're used to navigating change through.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to make decisions and start thinking in a world of exponential change, that's a capacity that we're developing here in Kansas City. That is really critical and really different than what happened before.
In your group, KC Digital Drive, Aaron, does what?
So we, you know, as you said, we work to make Kansas City a digital leader. We do that through bridging the digital divide here and making sure that all people have access to digital tools.
Mm-hmm.
We do that by encouraging a culture of innovation and really technology pilot projects in areas of social impact. So it's kind of taking...
What does that mean?
So it's taking the idea, you know, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship here, which is, you know, experimentation from a business creation standpoint. We want to take that culture of experimentation, risk-taking, and sort of pushing the envelope to projects in education, in healthcare, in government services that use technology to improve people's lives.
How do you encourage that?
We do a number of things. We have hackathons that are focused on things that you can do in schools and healthcare. And we develop applications.
Hackathons, you call them?
Hackathons, yeah, where you get together and take a technology idea and a problem that people are finding in a classroom or in a hospital room or in the government and sort of put them together and see what kind of solutions can you come up with and then try it on a small scale and see if it works.
What else do you do?
We host a lot of events. We host a lot of conversations around digital health, for example. We have a digital health forum that meets every quarter and a group that meets every month. Just had a big conversation on how the health information exchange information with one another. We host a Gigabit City Summit, which brings together people from across the country. We had 50 different cities here in January.
Wow.
To kind of talk about how you do this on a larger scale. And and again, the digital inclusion piece is really important. We've got a coalition now around digital inclusion to share resources and help figure out how to tackle this problem.
The Tale of Two Gigabit Cities, Kansas City and Chattanooga. That's our topic here. 816-235-2888 is our phone number. Let's go to some calls. And Leslie from Kansas City, Missouri has a question about Chattanooga. Good morning.
Good morning. So when Google came to town, it did highlight our digital divide here, and I'm wondering if we can hear a little bit more about the work that Chattanooga has done around their digital divide. I know they just launched Tech Goes Home, so I would like to hear maybe some lessons learned from them being a little bit ahead of us on the gigabit speed.
How do you breach the digital divide in Chattanooga, Aaron, or Ken? How did that work out?
Well, I mean, in our case, I mean, and we spend, you know, I mean, I think one of the beautiful things that's happening in this country today is that we're not looking to Washington to solve our problems. I mean, we're working with more cross-city collaboration. So our folks are always talking to folks in Kansas City, and Kansas City folks are talking with us. But in our particular case, I mean, the Enterprise Center got retooled, and one of our, you know, core strategies, core goals was, you know, digital equity. And so we actually worked with the city, you know, a woman that started Tech Goes Home, and we are in the process of raising money now to sort of put 2,000 families through that over the next 18 months. But we're also working closely with the school system with a one-to-one pilot program to actually take devices, but with a really heavy emphasis on professional development for the teachers. I mean, there's a lot of folks that will sit there and say, well, you know, do your schools have gigabit? In our case, every one of them has access to it. But quite frankly, when you go inside the schools, if the wiring isn't done or the equipment is old or whatever, right, it doesn't matter whether you have gigabit or not. So, I mean, we've got a whole task force that spends, you know, I mean, every waking hour working on those issues. And it's quite frankly a tough one. But what we hope to do is sort of bring attention to that effect and mobilize it and help sort of, you know, sort of move the needle forward on that.
You know, Aaron Deacon, when Google Fiber came to Kansas City, we saw this explosion of startup activity. Did you see that coming? Did you anticipate it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can do with that kind of infrastructure. And infrastructure doesn't necessarily happen automatically, but it's a really attractive asset for tech startups.
And what's the most amazing thing you've seen so far when it comes to Startup Village and all this different entrepreneurial stuff going on around town?
Well, the most amazing thing is really just the volume of activity and the acceptance of this, you know, this kind of stuff happening. But there are some really cool individual projects. I mean, there was a guy. This was one of the entrants in the Launch KC, the Launch Grants competition that was just awarded at Tech Week, and he didn't actually win one of the awards, but he had sort of a virtual reality ball. It was kind of like a giant hamster ball that you could go through if you were an architect and you were, you know, doing your 3D, you know, rendering of a building, and you could actually get in there and walk through it, kind of like the holodeck on Star Trek.
Really?
And so it was like, oh, well, this is how you can not just look at your renderings, but you can actually explore it in three-dimensional space. That's a really cool thing. And, that takes a lot of technology to be able to run that kind of
stuff. I think for a lot of people in town, it's still hard for us to sort of wrap our arms around exactly what all this means and what its potential really comes down to.
It absolutely is, and it manifests itself.
It's like a different world, sort of operating out there from where the rest of us are.
Yeah. Even on a sort of common sense basis. So, like my son, you know, will write collaborative stories in Google Docs. So he's in eighth grade, and you know, he's like, oh, we're working on a story. Whereas when I was a kid, you know, if I had an assignment to write a story at school,
you wrote it yourself.
I'd just go on. I'd go to my computer, and if I was working with other people, you know, you'd have some group projects. But the idea that this is how you create things is by going into a shared document and just having everyone kind of source their own pieces of it. That has huge implications for all sorts of things about how we do work in the world.
We do that here for our show. I find some days, you know, I'll be working on a show at night, writing questions. Danny Alexander, our producer, she'll be writing questions. A third person will be in the document. You're moving it up and down, and there's all kinds of people just piling into the same thing.
Yeah.
It still can't quite get over it. Yeah. All right, Ken, thanks for the call. Let's go to Margaret from Parkville. Margaret, you're on up today. Good morning.
Good morning. Are there countries in the world that already have the kind of fast speeds that we're talking about here? And if so, you know, are there lessons we can learn from them? I was thinking of Japan or Korea.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And Susan Crawford is one of the nation's leading broadband advocates. She was here at our summit in January, and she addressed this specific question because she's done a lot of work in traveling and writing on those on that question. She said, you know, in Korea, they've got an enormously fast network, but culturally, they have a very rigid and sort of regimented society that is not conducive to the kinds of innovation that, that U.S. culture is. And she used another example of Stockholm, Sweden, which has they did sort of a publicly owned pipes that people can come in and start the network on. They have really good internet, but as she characterized it, there was sort of a laid backness to the culture there that, that didn't really drive innovation. And so you see, you know, better services, and you see, you know, sort of a Scandinavian expression of fiber. But what she saw in Kansas City, and I think in the U.S. more generally, is really this sort of more vibrant culture of innovation, and she used the word grit and pluck that she thought were uniquely American characteristics in terms of how we'd see outcomes from these networks.
That's interesting. Margaret, thank you for the good call.
Thank you.
Let's go back to Ken. Ken from Kansas City, Missouri. Ken, you're on the show.
Yeah, I have a question about the privacy. AT&T product at first launch, they have a controversial about listening to the data for a cheaper plan. So I wonder, is that address?
Help me there. I'm not sure I quite understand what he's asking.
Yeah, so AT&T, when they unveiled their gigabit package, you can get their gigabit internet. I don't know if these prices are exactly right, but it's around $70 for gigabit, or sort of $100 or $90 for gigabit plus privacy. Which means that if you get their lower cost, their $70 gigabit package, they will watch more of your web traffic in some capacity and sell that to advertisers and use it to market products to you. I don't have a strong opinion. I don't know enough about how that works or what kind of rights you're giving up, but it has been a little bit controversial. And I'm not entirely sure how that compares to what Google's doing. So Google doesn't have different tiers. They don't give you an opt-in or an opt-out. The broader question of... you know, what can internet providers do with your data, and how are they using
the traffic?
We're
still sorting through a lot of that stuff.
There's a lot to sort through there.
You know, who keeps track of all this in different initiatives and organizations and startups that are springing up around town? Is that KC Digital Drive, your group, or is someone keeping tabs on all this stuff?
Yeah, we're working on it. It's a complex problem, but that's sort of the we released our playbook 2.0 last year. In January, and redesigned our website with a model to be able to start collecting all the different projects and start putting some metrics to those projects so that we can have a fuller scope of the activity that's springing from this this infrastructure.
Well, it's quite a story. I want to thank Aaron Deacon, director of KC Digital Drive, for stopping by today. Ken Hayes, the president of the Enterprise Center in Chattanooga. Gentlemen, thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for having us.